I'll tell you something that I thought was great that happened this week. I've been working on Psalm 34, and I called Gabe on Thursday or Friday, I can't remember for sure, but one of those days I called him and I said, Gabe, have you already picked out the songs for this week? He said, yeah. I said, well, could we squeeze in this song, the song we just sang? And he said, it's already on there. It's already been picked. You are here today because God wants you to be here. And there's a lot of distractions. There's things that can happen that divert our attention. But if it's for one or if it's for everyone, please hear me today when I say the greatest blessings in life come in trusting God. And that's really what David wants to say in this psalm. So, when we think about this, we're going to read it in just a few minutes, but when we think about it, one thing I would invite you to do is, when is it difficult for you to praise, to bless, to honor God? Just think of a few experiences that you have. Sometimes we can get mad at God. And you know what? It's okay. God's big enough to handle the anger that we might have over something that has happened or some circumstance. But we need to come back to the place to where we honor him for who he is and for what he has done. It was such a powerful thing for Gabe to say in his prayer. You know, I look back and I see how God has blessed me. Even in the experiences where I wanted him to do something else, he blessed me. Because God is that kind of God. He cares for you. He cares for me with a perfect kind of love. And so I want us to look at Psalm 34, if you have your Bible with you, and we'll try to look at some ideas that are here. Excuse me. Verse 1, Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. I have underlined all in my Bible. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And then verse 4 is what we just sang. I sought the Lord, and he didn't hear me. That's not what it says, is it? I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from, this is another underline, all my fears. God is worthy to be praised and adored. And that's what David is saying as he starts this psalm. The first thing that I want us to talk about is a declaration of praise. That's what David is saying in this song. He's saying, you declare, I declare the praise of who God is. Not just when everything is wonderful, when it goes well, when I'm on the mountaintop, but at all times, He put that all in there for a reason. The Holy Spirit put that all in there for a reason, to remind us that we are not just simply called to bless or to praise God, to honor Him when things are going good, but we are to praise Him and to honor Him when things are not going right. It was Job, the man who endured so much suffering, that said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now that's a hard place to get to, isn't it? We have to really work up sometimes, work ourselves up to get to that place where we can say, God, I praise you. But isn't that, when we do that, isn't that really what praise is all about? Everybody can praise God when God gives them what they want. But what if you're engaged in a circumstance that you do not want and you're begging to get out of it? Are you still worshiping God for who He is? That has not changed. Who He is has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the God who always, always works to bring about what's best for us. Sometimes that means He disciplines us. Sometimes that means we go through struggles, problems. Mary and Martha had to go through the death of their brother Lazarus to experience that Jesus has resurrection power. He is able to do exceedingly more than we can ask or think. So He starts out this psalm by giving this declaration. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble are going to hear it and they're going to rejoice, because they see that I am following God even in difficult circumstances. You know, sometimes we may feel like people don't look at us when we're going through hardship. But I'm telling you, that's when they really look at you. That's when they really look at me. When I go through hardships, when things don't happen the way I want them to, that's when people look at us to see, is our faith genuine? Are we still praising and honoring God through those difficult times? What was it that moved David to say this? Well, we're going to talk about that. But first, before we get to it, just think for a moment. Do you struggle with blessing or praising God at all times? When you are beat down by your circumstances, are you eager to praise God? When God does not answer a prayer the way you want Him to, are you still willing to answer Him? When you have health issues, when you lose your job, in the midst of a financial crisis, or maybe you get a health diagnosis. What is it? What is it that can lead us to a place of praising God in the midst of those things? David talks about it in verse 4. It's like he's telling a story. I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now, there's just a quick thing I want to mention, not to get too technical, but in the Hebrew language, these words are in perfect tense, which means it has already happened. He says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. Sought and answered were both in the perfect tense. He delivered me from all my fears. Perfect tense. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. Perfect tense. Saved him. Perfect tense. Out of all his troubles. Now, why is that important? That's important because David could have chosen a different tense. The Holy Spirit could have inspired David to write it in a different tense because not every verb here is in the perfect tense. But these are. Why? Because they were commitments that David was making, a confidence about who God is and what God can do. He acknowledged the fact that God is the one who has been working in my life for years. And he is the God who is going to walk into the future with me. Now that is a great God. One that is there no matter what's going on in our life. He is always there. You know the Footprints poem that was written so many years ago. It was in those moments that God carried the writer of the poem when he only saw one set of footprints. Can God still do that today? Yes, he can. And I know that there's plenty of people here who could stand up and testify that God himself walked with them through the flame, through the difficulty, through the challenge, through the discouragement, through the depression, through the addiction. God walked with them through those things. We need to be faithful at looking back and seeing God's work in our life. You know, a lot of times they say hindsight is 20/20. Well, that's true spiritually. When we look back, that's when we see God's hand working even in those times when we thought he had abandoned us. Or he was busy with somebody else's problem. He wasn't caring about our need. But the writer, David, says, God saved me out of all his troubles. And he will be the one who will save all of us out of our troubles. If we're willing to look back and to acknowledge that God is the one who is working in the midst of these things. I want you to also notice there this word all. In verse 4, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from how many of my fears? Oh, that's a beautiful word in that context. Because can you imagine if God only saved us from a part of our struggles are a part of our fears, but he delivered us from all of them. Verse 6 says, this poor man cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard him, saved him out of all his troubles. And he will do the same for us today if we trust him, if we believe in him, if we acknowledge his work of grace. He works when I trust. To be honest with you, sometimes we don't sense the work of God in our life because we're not fully dependent, trusting in him. You know, we all can come up with a plan B. We can all come up with a plan B, plan C, plan D, plan E. But God wants us to say, I am trusting you and you alone to do this thing. I'm not going to mess with it. And I tell you, I have lived my life for many, many years having a plan B. God has taught me by his grace how to trust him in plan A, how to believe him for something that he wants to do that may be supernatural from our perspective. It's not from God's, but it can be from our perspective or from others' perspective. Not only must we trust him, but we must fear him. Verse 7, notice what it says. It says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Have you ever been rescued by God? Have you ever been in a foxhole situation, so to speak, where you felt like everything was collapsing in on you? The enemy was closing in on you. Your family might be closing in on you. All of those things were breaking up. Does God have the power to rescue us from all those things? Yes, he does. But folks, we've got to learn to trust him. We've got to learn to fear him. He works when I trust. He works when I fear him. When I pray, he works. Notice how many times David talks about prayer in this psalm. He talks about, I sought the Lord, he answered me. He talks about how he works when we cry out to him. He is willing and able to respond. Henry Blackaby, in his study, Experiencing God, says, the first principle for us to claim or to adopt in experiencing God is God is always working around you. God is always at work. The question is, are we going to join him in what he's doing? Are we going to keep trying to do our own thing the way we want it to happen, in the way that we feel like it should? Which one are we going to do? Are we going to trust him that he can see and that he knows what's best? Do you, in your life, on a consistent basis, look for what God is already doing? Have you learned that God is the one who answers our prayers? Are we willing to trust God's heart for our circumstances even when we can't see His hand? God is giving us the opportunity to trust Him and to look to Him. The third thing that David does so well in this psalm is he gives us an invitation. An invitation, thank you, Glenn, I appreciate that. An invitation to follow Him. It says in verse 12, who is the man who desires life and follows length of days that he may see good? I think it's a New Living Translation that says, who is it that loves life and prosperity? When you and I look at what God gives to us, He gives us the blessing of not only life here, but eternal life. And God gives us prosperity. It may not be that we're going to be rich or that we're going to have a lot of material things, but God can give prosperity in many different ways to us if we're willing to trust Him and look to Him for that. Verse 13 says this, keep your tongue, or these are the things that come out of that. If you desire this, these are the things. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. Ryan spoke a few weeks ago about the eyes of the Lord move to and fro across the earth, that He may strongly support those who are completely His. God Himself wants to help. God Himself desires to look down upon you and see your faithfulness to Him. In this invitation, David says, the righteous cry and the Lord hears. Remember I talked to you about perfect tense? That's a perfect tense verb. The righteous cry. He follows it up and says, and delivers them out of all their troubles. Another perfect tense. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Are you brokenhearted this morning? Is your spirit crushed by the circumstances that you are facing? According to the Word of God, you're in a good place because God Himself is with you in those circumstances. He's with us in the midst of the challenges that we face and that we go through in our life. He is the one who is there. His eyes are upon us. Notice he talks about these ideas. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Remember, I talked about the fact you're going to see all a lot. And aren't we glad? this next verse, many commentators believe that Jesus quoted these words. Jesus talked about this when He died on the cross. He keeps all His bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. But the Lord redeems the soul of his servant, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. God's eyes will be upon us. God's ears will be attentive to our cry. God will be near the brokenhearted, and God will be our deliverer. He will be our Savior in the midst of those things. Now, when you stop and think for just a moment about when David wrote this, Jesus himself had not come. But man, we are living in a day where our Savior, our Redeemer, has come. We can point to it at a period of time in history and say, salvation was brought to us on this day. Now, if David could say, God is my deliverer, God is the one who saves me, how much more can we say that today because we know more of the story than David did at the time he wrote this psalm? We see the picture of God coming to us, first of all, as a Savior to us, and then, secondly, God came to dwell in us. That's what God, the Holy Spirit, does. He indwells us. He is with us 24/7. No matter what we are going through or no matter how difficult our circumstances are, God is the God who is attentive to our need. And he is the one who loves us, that always wants the best for us. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, if God did not spare his only son, how could we think he would withhold from us any good thing? The problem is, we get excited about things that aren't good, things that are going to fall away, things that are going to rust, things that are going to be destroyed, things that are going to be taken. Jesus talked about this very idea when he was talking to those in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember what he said about seek first. Seek first his kingdom, and all these other things will be added unto you. But we've got to seek. You stop and think, how many times have you sought the Lord in the midst of your circumstances? Oh, you may feel like you can solve them on your own. God does not expect us to do everything. God expects us to look to him and to trust him with a solution that he gives to us. But we must act. We must respond. We must do what God impresses us to do. That's when we're going to experience the blessing of true prosperity in our lives. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. David said that years before Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote those words in chapter 8. So you and I, if you really want to experience God in your life, make Psalm 34 a place that you go to consistently. And my friend, when you are struggling, when things are difficult, go to Psalm 34. Let God encourage you that He is the one who is working. He hasn't left us. He hasn't abandoned us. He hadn't forgotten where we live. We haven't changed our phone number and He missed that. He is the one who knows it all. Most importantly, He knows each of us. As His children, He knows us. And He knows what we struggle with. He knows the hardships we face. And He is working to accomplish the very best for you and I. Let's pray together.